Hello, this is Joe McGee. Welcome to our podcast. Make sure that you subscribe and please share the podcast with your friends. That is the number one way you can help us reaching people with God's love and healing. We love you guys. Hope you enjoy the podcast. Hey, everybody, it's Joe McGee. Welcome to another Through the Bible. We're going from Genesis to Revelation, book by book, but in chronological order as it happened. Well, we're in the book of Revelation right now, which is a deep plowing deal, but it's a great book. I've shared so many times that I took my seniors, and when I was a school administrator, I took my seniors to a whole semester. We went just through the book of Leviticus. And I think they thought, oh my goodness. I said, no, guys, you're really going to like this. And we hopped it up quite a bit with stories and illustrations, things that, you know, God wanted a people that could come to him. He wanted a people that he could love and show off and be a blessing to. But sin, God can't go where there's sin. Sin separates us from God. So he had all these laws and rules about how we could cover sin, how we have the sacrifice and the bull and the goat and the sheep and the turtle dove. What's that? Well, it takes blood to cover sin. Don't think you can cover it. Blood of an animal. So we're coming up today where this is really fascinating. This is a blueprint for worship. And I've told people, especially grown men, I remember when I went to church, we'd have Sunday school. I went to church all my life. We were there every time the doors opened. But we'd have Sunday school, and then we'd have a break, like a 30-minute break. Then we'd have church. And so between Sunday school and church, you know, Sunday school is mostly, I remember an all-boys class and separate the boys from the girls. And I was like in the fifth grade, so we had a fifth grade teacher. Well, it's about a 40-minute class. And the first 15 minutes about, well, who won the football game yesterday? Who won the baseball game yesterday? What'd you catch and went fishing? What'd you do at the lake? And it's just sharing stuff. And then we'd finally get into some scripture. And we'd read our quarterly, whatever the quarterly was. And we'd read the story and we'd talk about it. And most I was oblivious. I really didn't care. I brought a little plane or a toy to play with. And so I realized, I don't know, around seventh, eighth grade, and you were still doing youth stuff, it started to sink. You know, it's kind of like you're talking about marinating a steak. It was starting to sink. I thought, you know, there really is a God. There really is a hell to be avoided. There really is a heaven to gain. And that we're laying up treasure in heaven with the way we act every day and what we do with people every day. So my life's being measured every day. There are recording angels. They record every idle deed, every idle thought. My life's being recorded. I thought, oh, man. And I thought, oh, well, I wonder what's in the book, you know. And so then I read about in Revelation, you get to heaven, they open up the Lamb's Book of Life. Is your name in the Lamb's Book of Life? Well, if it is, you get to stay. That means you made Jesus the Lord of your life. You've been born again, taken out of the kingdom of darkness, placed the kingdom of God as your son. Well, then there's the book of works. There's another book that opened up, things you did in faith, out of faith, for God, not for God. And they're going to read the list of stuff, and they're going to pile it up, and you realize, man, God, I knew I was busy. I didn't know I was that busy. And so you're thinking, well, I'm going to need some help to carry this into my mansion. Well, son, we need to test fire this first. There might be some bad stuff in it. I'm trying to imagine a big hairy angel coming out and points a big wand at my pile of stuff and shoots a ball of fire into it. Boom, and my stuff disappears. And I tell St. Peter, Lord, where'd my stuff go, St. Peter? Well, son, you don't have any stuff. You know, you must say we're a thumb sucker. You complained a lot. But you were born again, so you get to stay. So hang this chicken leg around your neck. You're what we call a chicken leg Christian. Because every family event I ever went to, every family reunion, the kids didn't eat at the big table. The kids ate at the card table. I always had probably four or five card tables set up. And we ate off paper plates. We didn't eat off real plates. We ate off paper plates. And we got a chicken leg, not a big chicken leg. You just got a little chicken leg. We don't get the chicken wing. We don't get the chicken breast, chicken thigh. No, we get the kid food. And I got to thinking, well, I'm like a chicken leg Christian. And I was so glad that I got to sit at the big table with the big people and eat a really good piece of meat. Man, it's good to grow up. But it helped you understand there's a process of growing up. You're not born full grown. You're born growing up. And most of your life, you'll still be growing up. I used to tell people, when I'm 90, my kids are 70, I assume my kids are coming. Hey, Dad, what are you doing? Well, we're just sitting here on a board. Hey, Dad, you ever go through this when you were 70? Yes, I did. What did you do? Well, I did this. And we're still going to be passing on wisdom. I'm not your daddy anymore, but I'm still your father. I'm still your brother in the Lord, you know? And so I still want to help you go through things and overcome more than a conqueror and achieve success. So having to go through this, go through the scripture, you know, we're reading it. It's just so much worship is involved. You read through the Bible, people wondering about, you know, how they falter and how they go by the wayside. The book of Leviticus gives all the ways to come out of this stuff. You go back to Exodus 25 and 30, talks about the divine blueprint for the tabernacle, how it's to be built and put up, and what the tent stakes, how far and how much. And it was throughout the promised land, they knew, where's God? He's at the tabernacle. It's where the pillar of fire and pillar of smoke's at, where God was. But then you have to get the people to help Moses do whatever he did. And so, but who's going to assist those that come to the tabernacle to worship? How do they know how to, what's acceptable sacrifices, what's not acceptable? Leviticus provides a helpful handbook for the Levite priests to know what to do. That's what it's, the handbook. Leviticus is the handbook for the priest of the old covenant. Here's what you do. Here's what you don't do. Here's how you do it. Here's why you do it. So, I remember I had a good auto mechanic one time in my place in Oklahoma where I lived. He smoked unfiltered Camels. His two fingers were stained yellow, smoking unfiltered, smoked all the time. But he was a great mechanic. Never finished high school, but he was a great mechanic. Didn't go to any mechanic school, but he learned the hard way. He knew how to fix cars. So I had an old pickup truck I'd had for years, and you couldn't get parts for it hardly anymore. I remember I'd go in and say, well, Joe, we can weld this and it'll work. Now, it won't do this anymore, but we can fix it. And I think there are probably a half a dozen things in that old truck where he just welded it. Well, Joe, it won't do this anymore, but it will do this. And the door handle will break off. He said, well, Joe, we can weld you a handle on it. It won't be the fancy, you know, with a rubber handle, but we can get you a handle for your truck. And so I had two artificial handles, and so we kept it going. He fixed it. And nobody else would do that. He said, well, you know, they don't make the parts anymore. But he wouldn't say that. Well, they don't make the parts, but I can put this on there. And he would make it work. And I was so thrilled to have him. Now, we had other newer vehicles. He'd work on those as well. But I love it because he'd work on my old pickup truck. And you just said, Frank, can you make this work? Give me a couple of minutes. I'll get back with you. Yep, we can do this. We can do this. And he always had a positive outlook. Yeah, there's a way we can make this work. I thought, well, good. Let's do that then. So, dealing with unclean hands, unclean hearts, you know, when you come to God to worship, it's like real, real important about that. And so, talking about priestly purity, this is out of Leviticus 21 and 22. Ministry to and for a holy people requires a holy priesthood. Because the high calling the priests accepted extra restrictions on their conduct and privilege. They had to be physically perfect, willing to avoid defilements that were permissible for others. The sacrifice they offered had to be without blemish. They were required to carry out the duties with meticulous attention to detail. The busiest times of the year came during holy convocations, joyous times, feasting, reflection on God's goodness, dealing with Israel. So the priests were at a higher standard. I told people, you know, when we got called in the ministry, I'd been an engineer for years, electrical industries, worked as an engineer. I loved my job. I loved what I did, but I believe God was calling us. So remember we quit our job, go back to the Bible school, 2 years in two-year school and 3 years at a major university to get my theology degree. And so I'm on a church staff. And I realized, you know, I thought real different being on church staff. I had been a process engineer. I wasn't a mechanical engineer, I wasn't electrical. It was a process engineer. People hired me to make things work. I'm a problem solver. I solve problems. And so when you went to work, some people go to work, well, I hope there's no problems there. Well, I love problems because that's when I get paid, and I get paid for fixing problems. So if there's no problems, I don't get paid very well. And so I was almost prepared for ministry because of what I did in the secular workplace. So I got on a church staff. They started asking me, hey, would you teach a parenting class? Because I had six kids. I thought I learned something about parenting. And then after a year, they said, hey, can you teach on marriage? Because my marriage seemed to be pretty good. And so I did what I really wasn't qualified for, but there was a need. And the Bible says, when you find a need, you meet it. A Christian, what do you do? I meet needs. What do you do when you get married? You're going to meet needs. You know, people have marriage all messed up. They, well, they're in love and you're sucking lips off each other's face and we're just going to hold hands and tiptoe through the tulips. No, no, because married people are opposite people. You got a male, you got a female. They think different. Men think different than women. Women think different than men. There have been so many great books written over the years, you know, about men and women. And when they come together, you realize, why does she think the way she thinks? Because she's a female. Why does he think the way he thinks? Because he's a male. He thinks different than a female. Females think different. Two are better than one because they can help each other. One falls down. And so your whole life, God had a great sense of humor. Well, I'm going to make you a female. I had him lay and take a nap. He woke up missing a rib. He's got this wonderful woman in front of him. Well, that started things off, and it sort of started off south in the beginning. Got fired from the job, evicted from the house, kids start killing each other. What was it? Well, because they didn't hardly see agreement on anything. Well, that's because two are better than one. Two are better than one. God's not changed his mind about marriage. Marriage is the second greatest thing God ever did for mankind. When we're going through Leviticus, we're going through all these rules and regulations. Why? Well, because when you start living together, there's rules for living together. There's things you can and can't say, you can and can't do. My wife is still my sister in the Lord. I can't say anything to her that hits my brain. She's still my sister in the Lord. And so being a sister in the Lord, there's things I can say and things I cannot say. You know, I can't just let anything come out of my mouth I want to, because it's going to cost me. No, I'm still to honor her and honor the office. And she's to honor me and honor the office I'm in. And we're to honor the kids, because kids are on loan from God. We're to train them and give them back to God. Everything's a moving process. Nothing's settled. And we have so many, I mean, I grew up watching Leave It to Beaver and, you know, Father Knows Best. And the men always wore suit and ties. They came home from work. My dad never wore a suit and tie. He worked in a factory. My father worked in a factory. My uncles worked in a factory. My aunts worked in a factory. Nobody wore a suit and tie in my house. They worked for a living. And so most of the media was a lie. It wasn't real. And plus, it was only a 30-minute program. Your life is longer than 30 minutes. You know, it's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And so what we are called to do, Matthew 5:9, Jesus said this, blessed are the peacemakers. They should be called the children of God. One translation says this way, blessed are the problem solvers. They should be called the children. Who's a child of God? Somebody that solves problems. When you get married, sure, I love my wife, love the way she looks, the way she kisses, but I realize she's a problem solver. I'm a problem solver. What's your job? Solve their problems, fix their problems, not complain about their problem. Well, you always, you never, you should have, you could have. You can't start talking like that. What you got to do is learn how to be a blessing. So we're going through the priestly purity. God said, listen, I got things I need you to do. Now, I'm going to read just a few verses here. This is in chapter 21 of Leviticus. The Lord said to Moses, tell the priests to avoid making themselves ceremonially unclean by touching a dead relative, unless it's a close relative, like a mother or a father or a son or a daughter or a brother or a virgin sister who was independent because they had no husband. As a husband and a relative, you must not defile himself. The priests must never shave their heads or trim the edges of their beards or cut their bodies. They must be set apart to God as holy. They must never dishonor his name. After all, they're the ones who present the offerings to the Lord by fire. Providing God with his food, they must remain holy. The priests must not marry women defiled by prostitution, or women who have been divorced, or priests who've been set apart as holy of God. Now, the reason I'm reading just a few verses, there was so much detail. Here's what you can do. Here's what you can't do. Well, so what's he doing? Because today in the New Testament, it's really not that deal anymore. I mean, I remember when I first started teaching on marriage, married people sort of dominated the society. Well, they don't anymore. There are more blended families in America today than there are core families. There's more my kids, your kids, our kids, not know whose kids these are, than there are core families. Well, God's not died. He didn't fall off the throne. You know, I remember when I got remarried after my first wife passed away and I married an angel, and people said, well, can you do that? Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, you can do that in the Bible. And so, and you realize when I got married, and this will help hope somebody, when I got married, I realized my wife that I love is nothing like my first wife. Whatever I learned in 45 years of marriage has nothing to do with the marriage I'm in now, because I didn't marry the same woman. I married a different woman who thinks different, who acts different. I'm still in love with her. I still believe we're to be together. We got a great thing going on, but I had to relearn everything. Whatever worked in my first marriage doesn't work in this one. It's not a, you don't just get stripes on your sleeve. Well, I've been serving in the Army now for 48 years. Well, it doesn't matter how long you've been serving. This is a brand new deal. And you got to be sensitive to God and listen to the Holy Spirit and doing what he said. And so God's got us constantly on this thing where we're going through, and you're learning every day. You're learning. And so what he did right here on the priestly purity, he said, listen, guys, you live a higher standard. You know, you can't shave your head and you do this. Why? You're different. I'm trying to bring everybody up. So I remember one time when we got our school accredited, the organization we were with, they would accredit schools. There are seven organizations that accredit schools. Public government doesn't accredit schools. They recognize institutions that accredit schools. So many public schools in our state that lose their accreditation, but they don't close down. They have to get it back somehow. And so when you start living through life, you realize, well, this isn't a straight line. This isn't a 30-minute program on TV. This is life. And there's ups and downs and bumps and smooth places and happy days and days that aren't so happy. What God's looking for, somebody that'll stay the course, go the distance, go the long way. And so that's what really marriage does. When you have kids and your grandkids, you say, well, it's going to be great. Well, now there's a standard where God says, you know, train up a child in the way he should go when he's old and not depart from it. That's true. But there's still opposition. The world's still going to try to influence and stick his nose in place. So that's why there's a certain way to live, be married. Certain things God expects from husbands. Husbands, love your wife like Christ loved the church, gave himself for it. Women, you know, submit to your wives, honor him as the vessel. And so there's certain rules, even in the New Testament. God said, I've got a way for you to live that'll be real good. As a matter of fact, it'll be so good, other people will ask you about the hope that's in you. What do you want? I want you to have such a life that people ask you, how'd you get so lucky? Well, there's no such thing as luck. Well, how'd you get so blessed? Well, I am blessed because God forgives me every time I sin. And when I repent, he forgives me. I learned to get back up. What'd you learn? Well, don't do that anymore. That didn't work. Well, don't do that anymore. That didn't work. How you learn? Well, I'm learning by falling down and getting back up and falling down and getting back up. And every day we get better. Every day we get stronger. Every day we get it. And so when you go through the priestly purity, it's like he said, listen, there's a different standard for the priest because I'm trying to move everybody up the food chain. I want you to shoot for a higher goal. I don't want you just to hang out with everybody. I'll leave this thought with you. When I worked as an engineer, we would go visit our competitors from time to time. And we were in the electrical industry and very good at what we did, but there were people that did it better than us. So I worked for a great engineer who would a couple times a year, he said, Joe, we're going to take this weekend. We're going to visit one of our competitors about 3 hours down the interstate. There's another company. They do what we do, but do it better. So we're going to go there. We're going to ask to take a tour of their company. And maybe twice a year, during all those years I was working as an engineer, we go visit a competitor. We're trying to do it better. And the whole thing is people want to get settled. They don't like change. Humans hate change. But if you don't change, you don't grow. And so you want to constantly get around somebody better than you. I learned when I played football, when I played baseball in high school, if you want to get better, get around the guy that's a better player than you are. You want to bat better, get around the guy that bats better than you do. We better defensive back. Get around the guy that's a better defensive back than you. You got to make yourself run with people running faster than you. And that's not normal because people don't want to do that. They would get on people just like them. They want to be people that make them feel good, make them feel comfortable. No, no, you got to make yourself go around somebody better than you. So when God was setting up the law, especially going through Leviticus, he said, well, they're going to do this. You don't do this. You do this. I was like, well, who can do that? Well, nobody. That's why once a year, you're going to go in and offer the blood at the altar and come out. Well, you're covered for another year. But still, you got the weekly thing where every week you take a bull or a goat or turtle dove down to the tabernacle, blood's running out of that. And so you got the yearly sacrifice, you got the weekly sacrifice, you got the daily sacrifice. Like, what is it? God expects a lot, but we can do it. It can be done. What are you going to do? Well, the blood, now it's not, I don't take a turtle dove anymore. I saw the blood of Jesus. Father, I thank you. I come boldly to the throne of grace, get mercy in time of need. Because the blood of Jesus. We've got it made. Leviticus is such a great book that shows all the requirements God had, but we've got it made because of the blood of Jesus. We're covered. We're covered. We've got an advocate with the Father, and we're covered. So take heart. You know, whatever you're doing, however you're living, God's got his mind on you, his eyes on you. He's going to order your steps and direct your paths and show you things to come. And tomorrow's going to be better than today. I promise you. God bless, guys. Thanks for listening. Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. It's got a great future for you and your family. We're here to help you get there. Please make sure you visit Joe McGee Ministries on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. There you find all of our Friday funny videos and other encouraging resources for you and your family. While you're at it, be sure to visit joemcgee.com. We have all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.